Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 7. A little over 2 years ago, this congregation was very concerned with an issue that we had with one of our young men. I believe it was August 2 years ago, and you are going to hear how God delivered in that moment through time. Joseph Pavich is going to share tonight his story. So I want to invite you folks tonight to come and hear. Joseph had brain surgery over 2 years ago. He led our worship today, and we praise God. I want you to come. Make sure you take a little time to come and hear. You will be blessed. Hebrews 11:7. You know what? I have 9 minutes to give a 40-minute sermon. How you like that, huh? I'll try to condense it as much as I can. I'm not going to make any promises I can't keep. If you have a pressing appointment and you need to get out, you feel free to do that. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in time when we can stop for just a minute and look to you. We are needy people. You have graced us in so many ways in this past week. I thank you for the recovery for Amanda England. I thank you for your grace on the family there. We thank you for the things that you bring our way. And we ask that you would provide and continue to do so. We look at your faithfulness and we are greatly encouraged. Thank you for those that have successful surgeries in this past week. Father, there are some families that are hurting in different ways with perhaps the loss of a loved one. Perhaps there's some issues within that family. Maybe there's someone here before you right now and they're a long ways from you. Bring them, draw them close, bring them near. I pray for this moment, the preaching of the Word. We are a body of believers built on your revelation. And I pray that you would help me to put this thing in order. The time is short. In a way that's pleasing to you, Father, in a way that's good and helpful to your people. If that's going to happen, we need your Spirit to move, to help, to guide and direct me, my words, my thoughts, and all of us to respond as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a tremendous chapter in the book of Hebrews. In the 7th verse of that 11th chapter, it says this, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." We're going back today to look at a man for just a few moments and some events that are perhaps the most well known in the Old Testament. Most people know of the story of Noah and the ark. And we're going back there. Noah lived in a period of time that was unprecedented in human history. We may think that today things couldn't get any worse, but they could. And there's a point in time when they were. And we'll go back there for just a few moments. By faith, Noah being warned of God, you see it there. He moved in reverence and so forth. I want to challenge you today to live the kind of faith that lights up the darkness around you. That's what Noah did. That's who he was. One's faith should proclaim a trust in God that is so deep that the fear of God overwhelms what others may think of us. Noah didn't bend to the pressure that society brought upon him. He stood firm on the Word of God, allowing it to shape his life and his worldview. I want to just note a couple things here in this text. The first thing we see here is that God was gracious and that he warned Noah. He warned him about things to come. The word warned has the idea that God deliberated. He discussed with Noah what he was about to do with him. God had a thorough discussion with Noah. God personally spoke to him. I'm not going to have time to run back to Genesis, but it is in Genesis 6 and then in forward in chapter 7 where you'll see that God just showed up and he revealed himself to Noah. He lived Noah in an incredible point in history. The word back in Genesis 6, 5 tells us that every intent of the thoughts and of the heart of man was only evil continually. That's what it was in Noah's time. Now, God gave Noah revelation as to what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. Noah would have understood that God was just and that God would deal with sin. God is a loving, gracious God. We spoke to that not too long ago as we were around the Lord's table. But I also want you to know that God is a God of justice, and He will deal with sin, and He will deal with sinners. And God told him about things to come. How gracious of God was it that He would reveal to Noah, Noah, this is what's going to happen. And I need to tell you about it. And I want you to make a difference. That is so gracious of God. He simply reached down and he forewarned Noah of what was going to occur. And Noah took him at his word. He believed. He trusted. Matter of fact, that's what this chapter is all about, right? We began, remember, in verse 1, it says this, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. And then it talked about believing. By faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, right back to Genesis 1. In verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here is a man of faith. Noah was one of those guys. So he was warned. He was stirred within as well. Look at verse 7 again here in Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. How did he come to that point? Well, he was stirred within. He feared God. There was a reverential fear of Almighty God. A deep reverence within the heart of Noah. His respect and fear of the Lord marked this man. It marked him. And it led him to obedience, which seemed, I think, silly at the time. So he feared God. He believed God. Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's response was to trust what God had said and told him was about to occur. That's faith. That's trusting in God. Noah believed God before God made known to him everything that would occur. But he told him some things. And faith believes God. Our faith rests on God and His Son. Faith always has as its object God. For us, it's our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, no one can do better than that. You'll not have anyone better than the Lord Jesus Christ to look to. So our confidence isn't in us. It's in Him. And we believe, we trust. Noah was stirred deep within. Think about this. I believe it was near 100 years it took Noah and his family to build that ark. That is a tremendous commitment. He had never seen an ark. He'd never seen a flood. He may have never seen rain at that point in time. But God said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. And listen, I want you to make a difference. I want you to take me by faith. I want you to believe. Those were things to come. I don't know about you, but I have not yet seen Jesus Christ. I know about Him. I know He's alive and He's well within me. I've not yet seen Him. I've not yet seen heaven. I've not yet seen the rapture of the church. I've not yet seen that glory, but I believe, and we believe. Those are things that have not yet come, but we still believe. But He was stirred within, and this faith caused Him to do something that no one else had done ever. As I was thinking about this text, I want to mention this as well. This was a worldwide flood. You know that, right? It wasn't a local area. It occurred worldwide. And I just need to mention this. You've heard this before, but I want to remind you. When we were in LaGrange, Wyoming, just west of town, there was a butte. And it rose up to over 5,000, maybe nearly 6,000 feet. And it was made out of mostly sandstone. I was on a ranch there, helping a rancher, and I was asking him about how to get to the top of that thing. What was the quickest route? And he told me, you go up by this pipe, which is water irrigation that goes up to the top. You work your way up through there, and he said, you'll see the sea turtle, and you go right up through there. I said, sea turtle? Yeah, in the sandstone, there's a skeleton of a sea turtle, about 6,000 feet. Among a whole lot of other fossils. How did it get there? Was it just flying through a rainstorm one day? No, there was a worldwide flood. There's evidence of it all over the earth. Anyways, Noah was told, I'm going to send my judgment. It's coming. He was forewarned, but he was stirred within. And he responded to God's word. Some of you may be here today, and you know God has been speaking something into your life lately, and you're just putting it off. I want to urge you forward with the Lord. Maybe some of you are here today, and we've been talking about this issue of faith for some time. And you're understanding that without faith, I can't please God. And we've talked to you about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And we want to urge you on to faith. We want to urge you on to understanding that you're a sinner. You have no merit, no standing before God. I want you to know you have nothing to offer to Him. That's not that you're not special. That's not that God doesn't love you. But you have nothing to offer to God as far as some kind of merit where He would say, you're good enough. You step into my kingdom. No. If it were so, He wouldn't have had to send His Son to the cross. And Jesus went there to die for your sins and mine. And we come to the point where we see that, you know, it is through faith that I can have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. We want you to come, and I know God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to come to faith today. He was stirred, and he was preparing, he constructed that ark, in spite of what would have, I think, surely been mocking criticism, Noah stood firm. Can you imagine what those outside of his family thought? How long has he been working on that project? 30-some years? About 10 years later, 40 years. I don't know what they're making over. There's a lot of sawdust. But here's Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and his wife and their wives. And they're making, I don't know what's going on. Those guys have lost their mind. I'm sure the unbelieving world thought that. And here's Noah hearing it. And here's Noah standing firm. His fear of God was such that it didn't matter what man said. And boy, that's where we need to come, folks. We believe in what he said. We trust his word. And too many times we let man dictate who we are. And by the way, I can't help but think of this. Here we are looking at Noah today. We did a baby dedication earlier. Here's a godly father, a godly husband, a godly man that made a difference for his family. You know where it started? With one guy. And I want to say to you guys, it's so critical that we have this great fear of God and this great faith of God to the saving of our family. And, you know, what would have happened if Noah would have said, God, you know, that's for someone else down the road. I'm going to pass on that one if you don't mind. What would have happened to his wife, to his sons, to his daughters-in-law? He stood up. He made a difference. He constructed the ark. He's building an ark because God said there would be a flood. It will come, Noah. I know you've never seen one, but I'm going to send it. And I'm going to wipe out all of humanity. And if you're not on that ark, if you don't build that ark, you'll go with them. So he constructed and he kept at it. There was a steadfastness of Noah that strikes me. I've been alive a little over 50 years. Noah, it would have taken him, I believe, at least 80 years, some say 120, to build the ark. Now, you tell me, is that guy not steadfast? That's amazing. And how many times did he have to go back and say, this is what God has said? I know what he said. And I'm going to stand firm on his word. I'll believe him. I'll trust him. I know what the other ones are saying. I know what they're doing. But you know what? We're going to keep our nose to the grindstone. And God calls us to that. Does he not? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He calls us to it, folks. Stand firm. So here are you and I. And we're living in a world that says, you guys are nuts going to church on Sunday morning. What's wrong with you? You got nothing better to do? And we strive to live our lives in such a way as to build strong families and to look to God. And the unbelieving world is saying, you've lost your mind. And I want to say to you, by the authority of the Word of God, be steadfast, immovable. You do what God's called you to do. That's the kind of guy Noah was. That's the kind of dad Noah was. And man, I want to say to you, grow in the Lord. Be faithful. Make a difference. I stand before you today, and I was thinking about this while I was in my pew, and thinking about faith and so forth.
and thinking about godly men and on. So I got to be careful here where I go. But I was thinking about my dad and his influence on a lot of people, on my life. And then I was thinking about my granddad. Because my granddad, when my dad was around 16, my granddad came to faith in Christ, his dad. And how was it that he came to faith in Christ? I have to tell you, there was someone in his life, an individual. It would be my great uncle who came to faith in Christ. I'm not sure who led him to faith in Christ, but I know he had a powerful influence on my grandfather. And it was a Wednesday night when the church was meeting for prayer. And one of the people that one of the ladies was impressed with, we need to pray for Bob Cochran that he might be saved. And it was the following Sunday when he went into church and came to know Christ. Because someone was following God. Because someone said, you know what? I don't care what the world's saying. I'm gonna be faithful to God. I know what's coming. God has warned me about that. And I know that He wants to use me as a priest, someone here to make a difference in the life of someone that He's brought into my life. That's what ministry is about. It's not just a pastor. It's not just for them. It's not just for the elders. It's for every one of you. And you know, there's someone in your life that God has brought into your life, and you need to be a Noah to them. You need to be someone that stands firm for them. Will you be that person? Noah was that kind of guy. And here we have, finally, you know what's happening here in verse 7 of Hebrews 7, or Hebrews 11? God's testifying about Noah. He was witnessed of by God. Look at here. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We're reading about him today. He's mentioned in many chapters in the Bible, different texts and so forth. He's one of those guys that is compared to Job, and he's compared to Daniel in Scripture. I believe it's the book of Ezekiel. And Noah, we're reading about him today, and there's nothing or no one hidden from God's sight. Hebrews 4:13 says that all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we're reading about him today, and I want you to know that God's keeping track for you and I. And he understands, he sees us, and he desires that you do well for his glory. We're challenged by his faith. He's called an heir of righteousness here in Hebrews. Genesis 6:8, I gave you that verse before. It says, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. How did he do that? He believed. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can go to church, and I hope you will. You can have a list of religious experiences. You can have a whatever, but without faith, it's impossible. You can do all that stuff without faith in God. God calls you to faith in His Son. We're challenged by His faith. That's one of the things it says. Think of the difference one person trusting God makes. It's an amazing thing. You know, I also want to tell you this. What a great picture that ark is of security in Christ. God told Noah to build the ark. God told Noah to get on the ark. God has offered to you and I His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's safety. Those in Him have eternal life in Him. He wants you and I to relish that, to enjoy that, to worship Him because of that. Here we are safe in the ark. Nothing can separate us in Hebrews 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation. I give unto them eternal life, Jesus said in John 10. No one will pluck them out of my hand. For you who have yet to come to faith in Christ, I would ask you to step onto the ark by faith this morning. That is Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 about Jesus. He rescues us from the wrath to come. I want to say to you today, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to be avoided. God's wrath will yet be poured out. Someone will pay for your sin. Either you will pay for it personally, or you will accept what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. You'll come to faith and be forgiven. I'm going to finish here in Philippians. If you would turn there to the second chapter, I want to give you a challenge from this. I know I've just flown through this, but I want to give you a challenge to hang on to as you go today. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. That's the attitude in which you and I are to serve God. By the way, I had this thought cross my mind. I'm looking at these folks on that video this morning, and I'm thinking they are in tough circumstances. But I'll bet they're not complaining about what color the carpet is and so-and-so in church today. I really don't think that crosses their mind. God wants us to serve in this way without grumbling and disputes. There ought to be a great love that pours from you to other believers, from myself as well. Look at verse 15, though. So you'll prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, here it is, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. That is God's calling on every one of us, to be a light, to be salt. He's given you divine appointments all over the place. You and I are need to make the best of them. Four truths I want to finish with here. Four thoughts, and we'll be done. One thing about Noah that strikes me is he was a truth-setting force for righteousness in a very evil and sinful world. That's what he was. Noah was a truth-setting force of righteousness in a very evil and sinful world. Secondly, this hits me as well, that he made an eternal difference as a father and a husband in his family. He made an eternal difference as a father and husband in his family. I love the simplicity of the scriptures as well and what Noah did. Back in Genesis 6, you just see he obeyed. He obeyed. He obeyed. He was a man of faith, simply trusting in the Word of God. That's what he was. Lastly, he didn't let the fear of man dictate his obedience to the Word of God. Noah didn't. He didn't let the fear of man dictate his obedience to God, because I believe it was his walk with God that made a difference. I'm going to close in prayer. We're not going to have a closing song. I would just ask that you would allow me to get to the back. Stand with me. Loving Heavenly Father, you have allowed us to have great joy here this morning. You've allowed us to glimpse, too, into the lives of those who have challenges that are beyond our grasping. You have allowed us to look into a man's life, one man, who made a difference for all eternity. I would pray, Father, that we would our walk would be such that the fear of man would be overwhelmed by our reverence for you. Help each one of us in that area. Father, allow us to believe and to know that you have placed us in certain situations that we might be a light in that situation. And I pray that we would walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you for warning us about what's to come, that one day we will die and we will give an account of our life to you. It's appointed on a man once to die, after this the judgment. Thank you that we can escape that through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for not hiding the fact that there's a hell to be shunned and to be feared. Thank you for the fact that there's a heaven to be enjoyed. And you've let us know all that. Thank you that you've let us know that one day Christ will return. He'll rule and reign on this earth, and we will see a righteous rule. We look forward to that day. In the meantime, use us for your glory. Bless these folks today, Father. I pray they'll make an impact in those you place nearest to them and then around the world. For your glory, for your great name, we love you. We pray we'll serve well. In Jesus' name, amen.